We've got some exciting places to go in a moment in the Word, but I need to bring this to your attention. Sean and Jennifer Hoisington, who are sitting right back here, we've got a picture, I think, to throw up. This was day one of Vacation Bible School. And so would you guys stand up? Would you give them a great welcome? What a great decision. Thank you, guys. Sean and Jennifer would want you guys to know when they came to this church family a few months ago, began attending, what they found in this church was a church that was open and accepting to them and reached out to them. And when they made that decision, they made a conscious decision to make Jesus their Lord. And as they're being baptized, Carolyn and others who are down here with the kids that Sunday evening, the kids are looking up there and seeing what mom and dad are doing, and they're just asking all kinds of questions. Very, very exciting. Also, to let you know that Matt and Terry Gilbert and Lila and Kelsey, who are right back over here, where are you guys sitting? Would y'all stand up just a minute? Listen, a lot of you know them. They want to be part of this church family, and we're so glad that they do and glad they're here. Would you give them a big welcome? The only other thing I need to note is that Lloyd, as he went to the back, said, you know, I forgot to tell people that if they want to help with the Meals on Wheels, they can talk to Cheryl or myself, and we'll be glad to get them plugged into that. So please attach that to them and let them know this morning when you might be able to help to drive. When I was a kid and riding in the car with Mom, and the times I can remember, it was just she and I. It wasn't uncommon to hear Mom break into a song, quietly so, but maybe she would sing the words or maybe she would just begin to hum. What is so remarkable thinking about that now is that my mother, despite her son, was a rather reserved person. And so for Mom to break into a song with any kind of audience in the room, I couldn't imagine my mom, were it not for those experiences, singing out loud with no one around, much less in a circumstance where there was even her son. But she would begin to sing or she would begin to hum, and I don't really recall the song that any of the songs that she sang, but they were obviously songs that were dear to her. Now, my dad, on the other hand, my dad liked to sing and liked for us to hear him sing. Dad would, as we were on a trip, maybe my sister and mother and myself, so perhaps four of us, or maybe it was just myself. Could have been a long trip, or Dad and I could have been running to the hardware store or the feed store. We had a feed store in town. And Dad would sing on the way, maybe a ballad or just break into some fun song. I recall one particular song that, you know, I wish, and I've thought over the years a number of times, I wish I had recorded that in Dad's voice, because it would have been a great thing to keep until this day and to play for his great-grandchildren and just to hear his voice again. But you always put those things on the back burner until they're no longer possible. And I don't remember a lot of the words of the song, but I do remember the title of the song. And the title of the song was Old Blue Rocket. Is that familiar to anyone here? Old Blue Rocket. Well, that may have been a song that Dad made up. That wasn't beyond my dad, but I suspect it was a song from his youth, and I don't remember a lot of the words of the song, but I do remember it was the kind of song that a boy or a child enjoyed because it had adventure, and it ended rather dramatically, and Dad would always put passion into the words that he sang, and sometimes he would raise his voice, invite us to sing. I don't recall us jumping in and singing very often, but we just had fun watching Dad have fun singing the song and the passion he put into his voice. And so I come to church this morning, and I think about songs. What would church be like without songs? We've had a beautiful time of singing this morning, and it's been a blessing for me. I've had to come in and out two or three times this morning doing various things, getting ready for the morning, and whether in the foyer or walking into the auditorium or sitting here in the auditorium to hear the songs of the church and to be blessed by the songs. And church is a place you expect to hear songs. And we come this morning and we sing songs with passion. We sing songs with passion. And the songs we sing end up being a witness to God. A witness to God. They talk about God. They talk about what God does, what God has accomplished. They talk about who God is. They are a witness to God. And as a psalmist, which is our largest, the Psalms are our largest body of worship material in our Old or New Testament, as the Psalms close in those final few Psalms, there's a cycle back and forth between summoning the worshiper to sing God's praises and saying to the worshiper, here is why you sing. In our particular psalm this morning, as we think about a witness to God, the voice of God, a witness to God, as it comes through our songs, we turn in particular to Psalm 147. And we'll begin with verse 1. The psalm itself seems to unfold as if it is written in three verses. And here's how verse number 1 begins. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. And the church sings the song. If you've happened in this morning, maybe it's your first time to attend, or maybe you've come, but it's been a while, and you come in this morning and you hear the songs of this church being sung. And in particular, we think of songs collectively in the sense of a song, the song of the church, and this representative of the song of the church, which is a witness to God, who God is, what God has done, reasons that we are summoned to sing. We're not gathering in pews this morning and going through the exercise of singing the songs because it's just a good thing to do. We are doing these things because we have a reason to do these things. We are praising a God who is worthy of praise. He comes with a great resume of which we have been incredibly blessed. So if you come in this morning, I want you to know that the songs that you hear are songs which are sung with conviction. We mean what we sing. When you hear the words, we mean the words that we're singing. When you hear the passion of our voice, we mean that passion. It's no facade, it's no fake, it's no pretense. We believe what we are singing, and that faith, that belief comes through the passion that you hear in the notes that you experience in the voice. But when you hear us sing, we are not perfect people singing, are we, church? We are imperfect people who have learned it is appropriate to sing praise, to send praises and song in just His direction. I remember a time as a kid whenever we were at a school at some special event, and it was at one of those break times. We had nothing to do, and when you give some young teenagers about junior high age, you give them a whole school and nothing to do, they can find activities. And I can remember us running through the hallways, and it was a rather strangely designed school, at least by our standards, where we came from. And the classrooms had a door on either side of the classroom. And so the group ran in one door through the classroom, trying to outmaneuver another group to go out the door on the other side of the classroom, only to discover it was not a door. But it was a ceiling to floor thick pane glass window that was polished very, very well. There is nothing that makes you rethink the game like running into a plate glass window. No one was injured, but everybody was stopped. I can recall one time at a summer camp, no one was injured in this story either, though it could have been very, very injurious. And there we are in the cafeteria, and there was an excitement among the group, and there was a group of girls who were trying to dash back to the cabin. And this particular cafeteria had sliding glass doors on three different sides. And they decided to run back to the cabin, and they ran out that one of the glass door, sliding glass doors that was opened, only it wasn't open. It was polished so well, we had done so well cleaning that camp, that they thought the door was open, and though the young lady was not injured, she was probably 5 feet on the other side of that glass door before she had realized the fact she had run through it. And the rest of us just sat there amazed and grateful. No one was injured. And you look at the lives of us who are singing, and we are not pane glass windows that are polished so that there is not a smudge which is seen. We've got smudges in our life, don't we? You can probably find a few nicks in the surface and you'll see a scratch here or there. We've walked the road. We've made the mistakes. We are not perfect people. So if you have meandered in this morning, and I don't meander in any sort of light way, but you come in this morning and you hear the songs which are sung, they are sung by people who are not perfect, though we do find perfection in Jesus Christ, right? But they are sung by people who are imperfect but have learned who praise is to be directed toward. And I guess that there is a hope that you feel caught up in this whole experience. That even if you are in a place in your life where you feel a sense of unsettledness in your life, that there is a benefit for you this morning, wherever your place of conviction regarding God is, to be caught up in this experience of singing and praise of a God who is worthy of that praise. That even a God in the distance is better than a God who is not in the picture whatsoever. And that you are convinced by the song that the church sings, that the witness to God, that you discover that the God, as the psalmist said, that the God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, that those who sing this morning have experienced the fact, the preacher certainly has and does, a God who can heal the brokenhearted and heal wounds, that if he can do it for these who sing, perhaps he can do it for me. And if you left this morning and you are looking for something to take with you, the voice of the church as a witness to God would want you to take this message. If God did it in their life, perhaps he can heal my life. We worship a God who is a God who delivers to us new life. Amen? Watch this. Words of Paul, the image of Christ and the passion in this song. And then with the second verse, there's a moderating up, beginning with verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. Let's read that last one again. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with? Let's say it again. He supplies the earth with? Okay, and let God receive that as a prayer, right? He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. So the worshiper says, to the passion of my voice, a song is added the sounds of the harp, and we are giving God praise. And what this God expects of us is he is not expecting a flexing of the muscle, the sorts of things that governments and institutions often do, but what he expects of his humanity is just this. He delights in the offer of fear and hope. Now, quite frankly, I like to take a word like here, fear, and in some way try to tone it down just a little bit, because the concern about the image of sitting in a corner quaking as God walks in the room to crack the whip and to punish those who are frail is an image that I don't want to have of God, and with good reason. So I look for euphemisms. I look for something that will take the word fear and take the sharp edge off of fear, because I don't want God and fear to be in the same sentence if it's about me. But perhaps there is something I have to learn, that a God such as our God, whose size is intimidating and who causes a walk in me that is concerned because he has the ability to right the wrong and bring the offender to justice, that sort of God who would create that kind of fear in me may not be all bad. And that in an effort to take words like fear and sideline them, there is a risk of sidelining God himself. That while my culture, my society, even my church culture may want me as a preacher to offer to the church words much more palatable than fear, perhaps God doesn't need the preacher to make access to God possible. God is completely competent of making access to himself possible without my help. That what God wants me to do is to understand, though he is a God whose size and whose ability does strike in the people, his humanity, a sense of fear, he is a God of unfailing love. And that those who approach God find, both the weak and the strong, that here is the one place, that love can always be depended upon to exist. The song of the church is a witness to God. We sing of God, what he has done, what he can do, and who he is. Have you ever had a moment in church when you thought the song leader, the worship leader, had finished the song only to be surprised it wasn't yet over? But we're breaking into another verse. So let's do one more refrain. There is one more verse in this song. And it does, beginning with verse 12. Listen to the song. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. Are you getting the picture? Here's a God whose word makes an impact in this world, a physical impact in this world. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast. He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. So the one who journeys has been looking for God for quite some time. Now part of that journey is they've read books. They're trying to find out who God is. They're familiar with words like higher power, some being, some created being, some intelligent being. And so they're looking for an existence of some sort of being. And they read some books. They've even read the Bible just a little bit. But today is not about books. It's really not even about that journey. All it's about is going with the family to the park. That's it. Let's go have a picnic in the park. So they go to the park, and they're there for the picnic, and they're there for the fun. And while there, I happen to be in the park. And at a moment when I don't seem so concerned that someone might overhear my voice or my words and judge the quality of the voice or the song that I'm singing, they begin to hear me sing. Or perhaps at a moment when I'm not concerned about whether or not someone hears me sing, I'm just caught up in the song. Well, we've all been there, haven't we? We're caught up in the moment. We're caught up in the song. We have lost track of what else is going on in our world. We're just caught up in the moment. There may have been some worship experiences like that for you, where you're caught up in the moment, caught up in the word, caught up in the song, caught up in communion, caught up in the moment. So I sing, and they hear me sing. And amazingly, it appears that the words and even the passion and the tone come out in somewhat of an organized fashion, and they hear the song, they hear the witness to God, and it begins to resonate. One who didn't go journeying discovers that you don't always choose when you're going to journey and what's going to happen on that journey. Our God is in charge and will bring surprising things into our life, right? Did you plan everything that happened to you this morning? Were there any surprises on the way here? You can't have a 4-year-old or 2-year-old in your house without surprises on Sunday morning. I'm not sure you can be married without surprises on Sunday morning. And they hear the voice of song, my voice that time, your voice another time, you're the one in the park. Or they come in this morning and they hear the voice of song of the church and they hear the witness to God. You see, this God delivers peace. That's what he delivers. And this peace is reinforced by a powerful voice, which gives us good reason for fear and hope. Hope in his unfailing love. Because this is a word that controls the natural world and controls those who would give him praise. Let me read you this passage out of Deuteronomy for this reason. God's people are on the verge of going into the promised land. They have been 40 years waiting to go into, wandering in the wilderness, waiting to go into the promised land. And they are there on the plain east of the Jordan. And Moses is recounting to them the experiences, but also the law. He's talking to them about their identity with God, God's identity among the people. And I want you to notice in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, because it points to his presence among the people and the power of his word in the lives of those who give him praise. Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? You hear that? How many prayers have we had this morning in this assembly? 3 or 4? Did we pray to a God who's near? Did we pray to a God who was here or off somewhere we're trying to speak loud enough to get to? What other nation has a God like that? A God who is near. And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? I know he's talking about a nation. I know he's talking about Israel. And what I'm trying to suggest to us today, that what is true in this sense of Israel, is true of God's people in any time period. That we have a God who is near us, right? Part of what the objective And the benefit of going to camp is this. We put everything else aside in our life that often congests our life so that we can recognize the fact that we have a God who is near anyway. We just don't always recognize His nearness. And we go to church and all the noise, we don't recognize He's near often either, but He is near. He's here. And His powerful word that controls the material world, this physical world, also is a controlling force among His people. So one of the questions you and I ask as believers is just this. Who's in control of your life? Is the Word, the presence, the incarnate Word in control of your life and in control of my life? Is He in control of our life? Who is in control? That is the one to whom we offer our praise. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And He calls us to give Him our adoration and praise. He is calling us to put Him first and foremost in our life. Is Jesus first in your life this morning? Do you want Him first in your life? Amen? Let Him be first. And if you need to release something so He can be center stage in your life, release it so He can be center stage. And if you've not given your life to Christ yet, give your life to Christ. Relinquish things into His hands. The Hoisingtons would be one example just of late of saying, you know, I want to release things into the hands of God because I believe that Jesus can do a better job leading my life than I can lead. And there are others, there's a congregation of people who have experienced that and who can give that testimony. And that's exactly what we do. We give testimony, we give witness to God in song. So when the psalmist says, how pleasant and fitting to praise Him, does the church understand that? Do we understand that? Yes, we do. So as we sing this song of invitation, we do it giving you an opportunity to let it be known. If you want to give your life to Christ, to be immersed into Christ this morning, we're here to help you. Or if you want to rededicate your life, we're here to help you. But we want you to understand that we believe what we sing. We believe the words and the passion of our voice is meant, and the song that we sing is a witness to the God who makes a difference. If you would like to come, come all together, we stand and sing.